As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And pray, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen." There is a question that is on everyone's minds, or at least it has been at some point. It's a question that everyone asks now and then. It's the question, why? Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world, they wonder? Why would God allow such terrible things to happen, like some of the things we've seen this year in the news, and the shootings at schools? Unfortunately, as often as people ask this question, why, they're also constantly giving the wrong answer to the question. Some people say, well, it's because God just doesn't really care. Others, he doesn't exist. Others, he's not able to help. There's yet another answer to this question, another false answer, that we see in our text. See, the disciples think that they have an idea. They see this man suffering, this blind man, and the terrible suffering that he went through in his life, and they wonder, what caused it? What was the reason? They assume that it was because someone had done something wrong, and they ask Jesus, was it his parents or himself that sinned to cause this to happen? Now, sin certainly is a result of suffering, and sometimes the result of specific suffering. The result of a specific sin. If you do not study for your test and you get an F, you know who caused it. Or if when you were younger, if you disobeyed your parents and soon thereafter felt a swift swat on your behind, you know whose fault it was. There are sometimes painful consequences for things that we do, and when we come across them, we should turn to God in repentance to find forgiveness in our Savior's wounds. But that doesn't mean that every instance of suffering and pain is a result of something that you did or that someone else did. We know that suffering came into this world through Adam's bite of that apple. The cursed ground, the pain in childbirth, pain and sorrow, all of it in one fell swoop. And it reminds us of the sin that is here. But Jesus, in our text, he points us not to the cause, but the purpose. Not to what happened that made this man blind, but how he will use it. How Jesus can use suffering for good. So he says it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. That word, displayed, could also be translated shine forth. And that's exactly what Jesus, the light of the world, does in our text. He shines by shining away our spiritual blindness. You know, I have really bad eyesight. If I don't have my contacts or glasses in, you guys would all just be totally blurry to me. I can't read anything. And sometimes I wish, you know, it'd be nice to have my eyes fixed. I could see better, wouldn't have to bother with contacts and glasses and all that. And so I got a flyer in the mail a few weeks ago. LASIK eye surgery, $500. I don't know that I really want to do it, but it reminded me. You know, there is this procedure, probably familiar with it. A doctor takes a laser, burns into your eye, and reshapes the cornea to restore your sight. It's a pretty successful surgery. Of course, it wears off eventually, but Jesus performed a much more successful surgery in our text. He performed spiritual LASIK eye surgery, and he himself, the light of the world, is the laser. But, like any good doctor, he starts by showing us that we need this procedure. We need it badly. In the later verses of chapter 9 of John, Jesus makes it clear that he is using physical blindness as an image of spiritual blindness. He shows us that by nature we are blind, just like this man was, who had never even seen light, who didn't even know what light was. And he gives us an example, and that's the Pharisees, who in the verses following our text give the wrong answer to the question, why? See, this man comes before them, they're asking him about what happened, and he tells them what happened. He tells them the truth. He tells them what Jesus did and who he believes Jesus is. And they mock him. They say, you were born in utter sin, and are you going to lecture us? Now, he was born in utter sin, but they don't mean it in the same way we do. They meant, you were born in utter sin, we weren't. We're better than you. And the basis for this was they looked at his life. They saw that he was suffering, and they assumed he must have done something to deserve this. And then they looked at their own lives, and the comfort, and the pleasures they had, and their outward keeping of the law, and they thought, we have got favor with God, and we're living charmed lives, and everything's great, and we're better than you. And they were blind. Now, Jesus does not present this picture of the Pharisees to us so we can gawk at them and think, oh, what terrible blind sinners they are. Rather, he shows it to us so that we can see that there's a Pharisee inside every one of us, that we are just as blind as they are by nature. Did you ever see someone suffering? Perhaps suffering as a result of something that they had done. And instead of sympathizing with them, seeking to help them, weeping with those who weep, as the Apostle Paul says, he just kind of thought, well, they got what they had coming. I'm sure glad I didn't do that thing. I'm sure glad that I'm better than them and I don't have to suffer the same way that they do. Or maybe some of the ideas of the philosophy of karma snuck into your thinking. Like, if you suffer now for a while, you're going to have something good happen later. Or if you do some good things now, then you're going to have some good things happen to you later. It's all blindness. It's the wrong answer to the question of why there is suffering. But Jesus fixes our spiritual blindness. He gives us the right answer. He says, I am the light of the world. And he says that he has come to work the works of God. You know, by healing this blind man, Jesus shows us exactly who he is. That he is the creator. He who first created eyes to see and hearts to believe. The only one that can fix both kinds of blindness. He shows us that he is the I am God, the same one who spoke to Moses at that burning bush. He shows us that he is the Messiah, the one who Isaiah prophesied would come to make lame men walk, to make blind men see, and to raise the dead. This is Jesus, the God-man, he who came to work the works of God, Jesus says. So what are those works? Well, it's to fix your spiritual sight. He came to do the will of his Father. And it was never more clear what that will was than when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, not my will, but yours be done. It was the Father's will to put him to death, to crush him for all of your prejudices and all of your black sin and all of your hatred and all of your jealousy. It was the Father's will to make his Son suffer in your place, and that he should rise again on the third day in all the brilliant light of Easter morning. It was the Father's will that Jesus should provide the ultimate answer to the question, why? That he should suffer so that one day you would never suffer again. That he should suffer to provide the suffering that you have in this life with meaning and with hope for the life to come. Jesus came to work the works of God, to shine into your heart through the words, so that you could end up standing before him, just as this blind man did at the end of chapter 9, and confess your faith in the Son of God, seeing light in his light, saying, Lord, I believe. That Jesus provides all the answers, and one day you will shine with him in the eternal brightness of heaven. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 777, verses 1 and 4.